Good evening and welcome to our meeting of Mid Ulster District Council in the Chamber Dungannon, whether you have joined us remotely or in the Chamber. I specifically welcome the public watching us through the live broadcast. The live broadcast will run for the period of our open business and will end just before we move into confidential business. I'm not going to go through the housekeeping, but I'll just do the last reminder, just to remind the public and press that taking photographs of proceedings or using any means to enable anyone not present to see or hear proceedings or making a simultaneous oral report of the proceedings are not permitted. Thank you, and we'll move to the first item on the agenda. So have we any apologies? I'm not going to do a roll call tonight, so if we have any apologies, if you let me know.
Nobody else?
Okay, so item three, any declarations of interest? No, and item four, chair's business, so I haven't been notified of anything. And business five then, our deputation from Department of Infrastructure. So thank you very much for coming along, and I'll let you take over.
Sorry. Technology. Be the downfall of us all. I'm delighted to have the opportunity today to make a presentation to Council covering the works completed in the Mid Ulster District Council area over the last year, 21-22. And for the looking forward to the current year. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting many of you, but I hope to get to know you a little better over the years that I'm going to be in my current role, and hopefully we can work together to improve the road network here in Mid Ulster. As you can appreciate, there's been a lot of challenges to the delivery of services in Mid Ulster last year and continuing into this year. It's been impacted by a number of unique circumstances, including the COVID pandemic, difficulties and challenges for the procurement of term contracts, and also budgetary uncertainty. Our staff and contractors developed new working practices over the past years to mitigate the impacts of COVID, and that enabled much needed road maintenance to be undertaken in the Mid Ulster area and for improvement work to proceed. There have been a number of restrictions that have eased over the last year, and we're slowly returning to normality in delivering the services that we provide. With regard to the procurement challenges, you'll be aware that there were a number of legal challenges to the award of the asphalt surfacing contracts in 2021, and regrettably, Mid Ulster was without a contract for asphalt resurfacing from January of that year, although there was a certain amount of work continued after that as we completed the works orders. Following the legal challenges, the department developed a new procurement strategy and started rolling out resurfacing contracts on a much smaller scale. And happily, the Macrofelt and Dungannon area contracts were awarded on the 28th of June of this year, and the contract for Cookstown was awarded on the 13th of this month. As a consequence, there'll probably be a slight delay in our ability to deliver a significant number of resurfacing schemes, not just for budget, but just because we're starting a lot later in the year this year. Obviously, this is disappointing for the department and for all road users, given the badly needed capital investment was delayed. However, there were some more positive procurement awards with larger one-off contracts for Cookstown, Ballygawley and Castle Dawson all awarded earlier this year. I know Castle Dawson and Ballygawley are ongoing and Cookstown has been completed. With regard to the budgetary uncertainty, the Department of Finance provided DFI with a contingency planning envelope for both resource and capital spend budgets, and this assists us in making decisions on the allocation of resources, and this is what we have to work with until a budget is established. The planning envelope allows for an allocation of capital and structural maintenance activities, as I mentioned, for 22-23, and that includes resurfacing. This year's capital funding for structural maintenance is similar to last year's, with an initial allocation of around £80 million. While that's welcome and does go some way to achieving the £143 million that we're supposed to spend on our roads, according to a Northern Ireland audit report, to keep them in their current condition, it is welcome. Unfortunately, there's unlikely to be additional allocations through the year in the absence of an assembly, as the ability to move money around is curtailed. So we'll move on to the larger projects, the strategic route improvement projects here in Mid Ulster. Obviously, the one that's probably highest on the agenda for us in this area is the A29 Cookstown bypass. The department is currently considering feedback from the scheme as part of the next stages of the scheme development, and is hoped to publish the draft direction order, vesting order and environmental impact assessment early in 23-24. The reason this is taking probably slightly longer than anticipated is because what we want to do is make sure that there are no delays once we move to the planning or the PAC and the inquiry. The timescales for progressing to procurement and construction will depend upon a number of factors, including the need for a public inquiry, as I mentioned. The successful completion of statutory procedures and the availability of funding will depend on future years' funding, of which we don't have budget set yet. I'm also very aware that Dungannon bypass is very much being championed by council and ourselves with regards to moving that onto the RSTNTP, and we're hopeful once the RSTNTP is published there will be some clarity on that. Other SRI schemes within this area that obviously has an impact on how people or the travelling public is the A5 Western Transport Corridor. It continues its progress through the statutory processes, and the Planning Appeals Commission is due to reconvene later this year to discuss the environmental statement addendum. Receipt of the PAC's final report will then pave the way for a new ministerial decision to take the next steps of the scheme. Subject to the successful completion of the statutory processes, then the construction of the first phase, 1A, new buildings to the north of Strabane, could then commence, hopefully with the other sections following after. And finally, the A6 Randalltown to Castle Dawson, the final section between Tombe and Castle Dawson roundabout, opened during last year, May 2021, and this has resulted in increased safety for travellers and the more predictable journey times, which I'm sure is good news for everyone using that route. I'm not going to go exhaustively through the lists of maintenance, network development, street lighting and structure schemes that were delivered in the last year. I'd just probably give a couple of high-level statistics with regards to what we've achieved over the last year, followed by what we're looking to deliver this coming year. So in structural maintenance, 12.8 kilometres of road surfacing was delivered in 21-22. That's despite the fact that we did not have contracts, asphalt term contracts during that period. There was also 22.3 kilometres of road recovery resurfacing. There was 238 kilometres of surface dressing and 2.6 kilometres of footways resurfaced in that time. There was also nearly 42,000 road gullies cleaned, 16,500 outlets and 30 kilometres of open drains were cleaned to assist in controlling surface water from our roads and maintain the roads in a safe and passable condition. Furthermore, there was 7,300 kilometres of grass cutting completed, 15,160 priority defects recorded and repaired, and 73 winter salting operations covering the 772 kilometres of roads here in Mid Ulster. There were also 9,401 opening up notifications for the highway, which were processed by our section officers. From a network development point of view, in 21-22, there was approximately 460,000 £1 billion of new works completed, including four carriageway-focused improvements, such as signal improvements, junction sightline improvements, five pedestrian-focused improvements, seven traffic calming schemes, and the continuation of the rollout of the 20 mile per hour at schools initiative, in which nine more schools were given the 20 mile per hour signage. From a blue-green active travel point of view, there was £490,000 of works completed, including three footways, one on-site scheme at Garver Road, which is probably still on-site, and two schemes further through the design process, Dunman to Macrofelt and Moneymore Road, Cookstown. Street lighting, there was £1.5 million worth of maintenance spent on street lighting in Mid-Ulster, and that covers things like outages, but the vast majority of that was spent on energy, and with spiralling energy prices, we'll probably see an increase in that significantly this year. There was £3.3 million invested across 16 schemes of capital investment, and that included £1.5 million of LED upgrading and retrofitting. And that goes some way to easing the electricity burden from our street lighting and fulfilling the department's commitment to combating climate change. There was £322,000 invested in the upkeep of our structures through 19 schemes, varying from parapet wall repairs and embankment repairs, and £95,000 invested in VRS repairs across the district area. In network planning, there was over 1,437 planning consultations, 19 private streets adopted, increasing the adopted road network by over 4 kilometres, and there was continued feedback for the plan strategy consultation process and the LDP. In 22-23, with the newly awarded asphalt resurfacing contracts, we've got plans to include 35.1 kilometres of roads for resurfacing, which is an increase significantly on last year. There's 163 kilometres of roads to be surface dressed, 12 footway resurfacing projects and 17 drainage improvement projects scheduled for completion. As with previous years, unfortunately, we have to continue our limited services policy for a number of the maintenance duties that DFI Roads carried out, and that includes a single set of road cleansing, road gully cleansing during the year, with an additional cleansing as and where required. As part of that limited service policy, there are limited to two grass cuts, most of which are completed at this point, and the defects correct rectification is also remains the same, with 50 millimetre deep potholes across all roads being addressed, and anything more than 20 millimetres on trunk roads being addressed as well. At this stage, a normal winter service and salting and gritting road schedule is anticipated. From a network development point of view, our LTSM budget is at 370 million this year, or 370,000 this year, and we've identified 11 schemes, including junction improvements, pedestrian improvements, and traffic signal improvements, which we hope to progress this year. There's also one traffic calming scheme and two park and ride studies, and the 20 mile per hour for schools, which is currently being paused to assess the effectiveness of the schemes that have been issued already. Once that pause has been, or once that review has been completed, then we'll be looking potentially, assuming that it establishes that the 20 mile per hour at schools is a worthwhile and effective initiative, we'll continue on along the priority list of all the rest of the schools that are there, assuming there's budget, of course. From a structures point of view, we've 200,000 planned to invest in the upkeep of our road structures, varying from replacement to gunniting of existing structures. That's the vast majority of the, or a quick overview. I'd like to go back to give a little bit of the context to the financial pressures that the department are under at the minute. The department as a whole has a £202 million pressure on its resource budget at the minute, and that's largely due to inflation and energy prices. To be clear, that's over and above the resource that we have nominated, or that's over and above the resource that we roll forward as a baseline budget for our planning and assumptions for the year. The single largest user of electricity in Northern Ireland, NO Water, has to be funded out of the same pot as road schemes. NO Water's energy pressures alone are 50 million, and our own energy pressures up for street lighting electricity is 26 million at present, and both are likely to increase over the winter. It is in this context which each division has received its budget, and the resulting plans are best prioritised, is the best prioritisation of plans that we can under these pressures. When it comes down, I'm sure you appreciate that when it comes down to a choice between able to deliver more road schemes or ensuring safe, clean drinking water for residents, unfortunately, we have to reduce our ambition for roads work, although naturally we would be keen to do more. As I mentioned earlier, because there's no executive, we don't have a system or the ability to move money between departments through monitoring rounds, and that puts further pressure on our budgets. It also means at times that we have to prioritise between the things that the law requires us to do and those that are worthy of public interest, but unfortunately don't have the same level of compulsion. So I hope that gives a flavour of the environment we're working at the minute, and I'm more than happy to take questions, and hopefully my colleagues Neil and Tracy will be able to pick up on anything that I may not have the minutia of details on.
Okay, thank you very much, Daniel, and I would just like to take the opportunity to thank yourself and Neil and Leslie for all the work you do. Neil is frequently tortured, so thank you very much. And hopefully there's a lot of work there that we're all of mutual interest in getting completed there, the A29 Cookstown Bypass, Dungannon Bypass, and the A5. So we look forward to those getting where they need to be. And just whenever you're saying there about the Assembly, just realise the importance and hope it does get up as soon as possible so that we can get budgets in place and get things moving, especially when we've come out of the legal issues that were there around procurement. It's very important that everybody gets around the table and the Assembly gets up and going again so that we can get doing what we would all like to do and what needs to be done for our constituents. So just hand over if anybody has any questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Daniel, for your report, and I suppose welcome you here to Mid Ulster. This is your first time presenting, so wish you all the best in your role, and just want to say thanks to Leslie too in Dungannon here for her work over the year, assisted by Colm, and also Johnny and Brenton, who I'd have a lot of contact with throughout the year, so I want to thank them too. Just a couple points on it. I just noticed there, just we talked about in the street works, 222 inspections from utility companies, and only 2.4% was classed unsatisfactory. I'm not sure, maybe this is maybe deemed from the year before, but I know around Dungannon at the moment, the amount of footpaths and stuff that you would deem unsatisfactory because the amount of utility work that's going on in Dungannon, I just feel that 2.4% is a very low figure, but I suppose that's what's reported, but it could be from maybe the previous year, maybe it's missed 6 months of it. But also a thing that I'm very disappointed with was not really mentioned this year, and it's something Daniela had brought to your attention, well, your predecessor's attention for a number of years. Housing estates in not only Dungannon but across Mid Ulster area, a lot of them have seen no investment maybe 30, 40 plus years. And I know every year it's the same thing in relation to budgets, but the list is getting longer. And I made the point the last time this meeting happened, that unless there's some sort of idea or programme or to include, say, one or two per year, you're never going to get on top of them. And I think you definitely do need to keep that in mind and maybe bring some in, or if there's any additional funding between now and the end of the year, to start addressing some of the estates, because a lot of the older estates in Dungannon, Magashie, that direction, as you know, they've been left for 30 plus years. Also, prior to COVID, the list coming out, I think it's probably prior to Leslie's time too, but we were told at that stage that Main Road Magashiel was on the list to be done that particular year, but then COVID came in and that was all put on hold. So it's just disappointed that things like that that were on the list, and the likes of Ranfurly has been lobbied for a long time, Ranfurly Crescent, etc., you know, it hasn't appeared on the list this time. But again, if you could take that on board, and just I welcome your comments in relation to about Dungannon Bypass, and is that report, Daniel, and just I suppose finish off that question, when's that report due out?
Well, certainly with regards to the RSTMP, TNTP, it cannot progress without a minister, so we've a certain amount of time pressure here. The RSTMTP, as you know, has been being put together over the last number of years, but recently the Climate Change Act passed a legally binding burden on DFI with regards to the RSTMTP, and there is a lot of review of what was already completed and put in it with regards to that. So that review process is ongoing. So at this stage, until that review is completed, unfortunately, I don't have a clear date for the publication of the RSTNTP. But once it is, then obviously the Minister has to approve it, and then it'll be issued.
Well, that's grand, and hopefully you'll take on board the comments about the housing estates.
Absolutely. I was going to come back. You're absolutely right. It's the same where I live as well, that the housing estates in and around with me are suffering, because the budget that we have of that $143 million that I mentioned earlier that we're supposed to spend on our road network to keep it at its current standard, not even improve it. In my entire 22 years in DFI roads, I don't think we've ever met that. I think the closest we got was about 135 one year, which we were flat out all year and a very successful year. But that's before 2008. In the context of that sort of budget, and I know you've heard this, I'm sure, from my predecessors as well, we have to target the most critical roads, the ones that are deteriorating the most, and the ones that carry the most people from a safety point of view. And while it's a very, very worthy ambition to get round all our estates that you mentioned, unfortunately, the priority ranking for those areas, unless it becomes significantly bad and poses a safety risk, unfortunately, they're probably going to have to sit at a lower priority than our main routes and our highly trafficked routes at this stage. And we would like to get around them, but unfortunately, we're constrained by the budget that we have at the moment. And hopefully, in the future, that'll change. But the turmoil that's been going over the last couple of days, it sort of suggests, certainly for the short term, it's here to stay, those constraints. The footpath defects with regards to services being taken up footpaths and roads, obviously the stats that we report are there. What I would say is having the staff to go out and carry out as many inspections as we'd like. Unfortunately, all our section offices are understaffed as it stands. So, again, we would like to get out a little bit more with our staff to inspect these, because, as you rightly point out, if we're not out inspecting these, then there's the potential for these reinstatements to be substandard. And a substandard reinstatement obviously poses risks, certainly from trip hazards or in the increased likelihood of deterioration. So, I very much take your point there. The other resurfacing schemes that you mentioned that were on lists previously, I feel that they're probably casualties of the prioritisation exercise that we're forced to carry out. and that roads that previously appeared on a list remain in a poor condition, but unfortunately other roads have deteriorated more or faster or have a safety risk that alters the priority, and then unfortunately they move down the priority list, and then the priority list is dictated by the funding that we have for that current year, and those are the schemes that we can do. It's quite possible that a number of those schemes are 1, 2, 3 places below what we've got at the minute, and if we received additional money then they may reappear.
Thank you, Daniel. And just to say as well, there will be DEA meetings on smaller local issues after tonight's meeting. So if we can keep to the bigger strategic issues and what's in the report. So just to say that, I should have said that at the start. Councillor Kerr.
Thank you, Chair, for letting me in.
And
I thanks for the official disclosure report, Chair. Just a few points. Just at last week's council meeting, Chair, I raised the roundabouts. It's something I've been raising a few times at council. I can't speak for other areas, but I think the roundabout at Upper Clough was obtained by council. Could we sit down? I'll raise up the DEA meeting about trying to get like a biodiversity scheme up this plot. I know road service own the roundabout, but the council maintain the grass bears. PS3, there's as Daniel mentioned, there's financial restrictions, but there is references to some areas in the Torrent area, like the, for example, PS21, the Clyne Road, Dungan Road, on PS39, the Mount Joy Road extension that's up on the road realignment. Are these Aaron's guarantees that the works will be carried out, or like as you said previously, will come down to five priorities. I'm also just disappointed that I didn't see, which was previously discussed, but I think maybe last year's meeting was to do with the Clyde Public Ground Scheme. I think it was a great opportunity to finish off one of the roundabouts. Is there any appetite to look at that, or is that something that would need to be discussed at the DEA? I know I've mentioned it before.
Right, thanks very much. With regards to the biodiversity at roundabouts, certainly within the constraints of our road service policy and procedure guidance E004, which covers the use and advertising and things like planting on roundabouts, within the constraints of that, I think we're more than happy to work with yourselves in producing a biodiversity agreement, or progressing that agenda. Definitely, I think it's very worthwhile. The question about the schemes that are included within the report here, you're quite right that they are very much budget dependent. But it is our intention, certainly, to progress all the schemes within this report. And I appreciate the comments that were made earlier with regards to some of the schemes that had appeared, but unfortunately weren't progressed. There is, unfortunately, the possibility of that with a number of with all the schemes on this. But the vast majority should be delivered within this year. There is the possibility of one or two schemes falling off due to the rapidly escalating prices. Certainly I know that the Cookstown scheme that was completed recently, there were no particular increases in the scope of the works, and yet the actual cost of the works increased by 40% due to the increase in cost of materials. So bearing that in mind, the budget that we have at the minute is fairly static, and there is the possibility that some schemes may fall off, unfortunately. But as I say, our intention and the best will is to deliver all the schemes within the report. The roundabout scheme, I missed the name of the roundabout scheme, Councillor Kerr. Clonoe.
Clonoe,
C-L-O-N-O-E. I might need to...
Sorry, Donna, just the last bit was, you're probably familiar, there was a major pub around Stephen Kyle. There was a lot of good work done to the town centre on the line side, but unfortunately there was a great opportunity for Mimi's Corner. It was, it looks like something you see in Moores, one of the, it's very, very badly balanced. I just thought it was a missed opportunity and was previously raised, but there was something down to the legal tenders was delayed the process. I'm just wondering, is there anything with the update on, maybe I know you're new to your role, maybe you come back to me after the meeting, but I just thought despite that it's not referenced in the report, because a new torn tractors have been lobbying with last year.
We can pick this up in the DEA meeting, Councillor Kerr, and certainly if not there, then I'll come back to you.
Okay, Councillor Sean McPeak.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks, Daniel, for your presentation, and you're welcome to Mid Ulster Council here. I just want to begin by thanking your staff that I've worked with during the past year, very amenable. You know, from our local Conal McKee, locally Neil Bratton, Donna, Johnny Graham, etc., all very amenable and responsive when you want them out. I want to pay tribute for them. We don't always get what we want, but I'm not going to get into, as the Chair said, talk about the minor details and requests that we're working on, but I want to mention one request that locals have been making for some time, and that's, I feel, a strategic request, and that is off the main A6 road, and that's a right-hand turning lane request at the Brook Road junction near the village of Nicklochram turnoff. Now, you're doing a lot of good work there on the A6 upgrading at the minute. There's a major resurfacing work that's taking place, all very welcome. That's going to further increase speeds, I would suggest. That there's one missing link, right-hand turning lane on that route. I know you're doing the Ranahan Road turning right-hand turning lane at the moment, but the one missing there is at the Brook Road junction at Nicklochram. And you know, locals that use that right-hand turning lane to turn off there are absolutely petrified, sitting in no man's land as the cars go flying past them at speed. There's no refuge in the middle whatsoever. Yet, with all down the road, if less than a mile, you have a right-hand turning lane into a dead-end road, McCool's Road, that's called. That's been there historically. There's all right-hand turning lanes into the village of Nicklochram and into Mahara, etc., etc. There's none at that junction. So I know we've been dealing with Johnny and Sam on it. They're well aware of it, but I feel, and the residents feel, that given the upgrading that you're doing there now, whilst it's very welcome on that route, that you're definitely going to have to look at the possibility of putting in a right-hand turning lane at that junction, because, as I say, it's only missing one along that lower Glen Sheen from Kesseldoors and roundabout section. Yeah, thank you.
No, I think you're dead right. I was briefed very recently on the fact that there are a number of right turn lanes along there, with the sole exception of that road that you mentioned. So I have given an undertaking with Neil here to actually have a look at, within the context of the current scheme, having a look at, is there the possibility of changing the white lining along there to accommodate a right turn pocket at Croke Road. So certainly get back to you as soon as our analysis of whether it's feasible is complete.
Thanks, Daniel. Thank you.
Councillor Barry McGuigan.
Thanks, Chair, for letting me in. And again, to you, Daniel, thanks for the presentation tonight, and also welcoming you up to the Mid Ulster Council area. I hope in the next short while to hopefully meet you, maybe up at County Hall, if that's where you're based at now. So just want to thank you for that you know, being in the area. The other ones that I want to thank is, again, same as Councillor McPeak, Neil and Johnny and Donna for their work throughout the year. I know I've worked closely with them on some of the schemes, especially the one on the A6 Ranahan Road turnoff. I do welcome that when there's a safety issue, similar to what Councillor McPeak had highlighted there, you know, that one, and obviously the one that he's lobbying for further down the road. I always felt that the A6 should have been included. You know, the A6 is a really good road from Belfast to Castledarson roundabout, and obviously the new one is about to open from Dungiven to Derry City. But we're left with the section in between, and I know when you talk about all these schemes and the money that's required and all that, there to be far down the list of priorities. But you know, joining the two main cities, you know, should have been that you know, a dualling of the complete road there. And I think it should be lobbied for to be put on to the national road network, at least on the plan, which is not on the plan from the last I saw of the plan. So it's something that we should be pushing for. You know, Donna, it could take a long number of years, obviously, unless money starts coming rolling in from some quarter before any such scheme would be delivered. But certainly we should not be excluding it from the national road network. It was mentioned there in your presentation, Daniel, active travel schemes. Now, active travel is something, and the terms of active travel schemes that I really support, and they are well received on the ground, you know, for the schemes that are delivered. But I think that there should be more, you know, sort of connection between members within council and DFI yourselves on local schemes, because we do see when we're out and about, you know, where there's footfall on linkages that could end up being a well-proposed scheme that would deliver really good safety measures within those areas. And it's something that we should be working in partnership with to see where, identify where you would, you know, you could put those travel scheme, active travel schemes on the ground. And I think that would be, you know, good that we'd have a partnership approach on those and have the discussion on how something like that could be delivered, and maybe with some help from council as well, but it's something that we could discuss. I don't know going forward. I think I'd heard that the minister had committed money, you know, to, and you know, to top up that travel scheme initiative. But maybe in the time ahead, I don't know whether it'll continue or not, but certainly something that we should be looking at. I think it's that benefit to our areas and identifying schemes like that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. Just with regards to the A6 section between Castledawson and Dungiven, speaking as a roads person since I graduated, yes, I would definitely like to see that dualled all the way through. But as I understand it, the cost-benefit ratio for that particular section at this stage doesn't give it a high enough priority for us to pursue funding for it. Now, that's not to say that it won't improve in the future, or that if funding was available, the department would be happy to progress it. With regards to the active travel comments that you made, I agree completely. Active travel is becoming more of a priority for DFI roads, and there is the the intention to spend 10% of our transport budget on active travel. As you mentioned, the Minister is committed to developing our active travel, and to that end, we're currently taking forward an interviews for a new director to lead on active travel in DFI roads. So I think there is a commitment there to improving delivery, and you're absolutely right, we need to integrate whatever active travel schemes we have with those of the council, and I think there is a need to work with council to deliver those active travel schemes across all council areas.
Thank you for that.
Okay, Councillor McPhlan.
Yes, thank you, Chair, for letting me come in. Could I put my apologies in for Martin Kearney and Sharon McAleer? I think Martin's also, just put those in. But also comment with regards to the meeting as well. So thanks, Chair, for letting me come in. I want to firstly thanks everybody for the presentation tonight. I want to thank the local team of Neil and Johnny and Connell. They're always available, and if you have a query, they do their best to answer your query. And we've had a difficult year with having no contractors in place, and we push them all the time to get research and schemes done. So I'm delighted Neil was telling me the other day, contractors are now in place, and some of the schemes that they hope to do will very soon be delivered. And I've been pushing to get Rooski Road done between the Loop and Cope. It's really in a bad way, but they've patched it and done their best with it. So I want to thank them for doing that there. But just to mention two particular things that have occurred recently. Recently, the pedestrian crossing was switched on in Moneymore Street this week. Now, it's taken 10 years to get that scheme progressed and to get the work carried out, all down initially to the work of Tracy Bratton. So I want to personally thank her tonight for the work that she did with some terrific, horrific meetings that we had on Moneymore. But they consulted with the residents and eventually we got it through, so I want to thank Tracy for pushing on with it and for Johnny. Johnny took it on board a couple of years back and delivered the scheme, so it's up and running now, and hopefully it'll work well for making all the young people see it and have to go across there every day. But as I say, it took 10 years. I want to also mention the one that was in the group planning of work is the one on King Street in Macquarie Belt. This is needed. I wouldn't underestimate the amount that it is needed. Because youngsters go to school every day up to Holy Family Primary School, they have to cross that. A lot of them have to come from Parkmore and have to cross that road every single day. And also people that go to church or chapel, they go every single day and have to cross that busy road. I would hope the department would see that crossing, the significance of it, and that it is carried out within 10 years. And we don't have to wait for 10 years to get it through, that they do put funding to it as soon as they possibly can. The other thing that I'd like to just mention is road markings throughout the district. Sometimes they wear off at particular junctions, maybe right-hand lanes, and the hours are not visible. So I'm glad that these are refreshed regularly, and when they do disappear off the road, that they are replaced as quick as possible. I'd agree with what Brian was saying there about the dual carriageway, or the dualing of that, the Glenshane Pass, as we would call it. That's our major route from, like, if you get off the boat in Belfast and head for Derry City, that's the major route that you'd be going. There's a section of it there that's not a dual carriageway, and traffic would be considerably slowed down on. So one for the future, I know, when we get funding available, and when the Minister gets his budgets through, that he will work with the local team and put that money into places that really, really need it. So thanks very much, Chair, again, for allowing me in. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor McLean. Just with regards to the pedestrian crossing at King Street, Macrofelt there, I'm more than happy to speak with my network development team to see what work has been done on that previously, if there has been any, and if not, then I'm more than happy to ask them to take a look at it. With regards to road markings for renewals, we do have a rolling contract to renew those, or a term contractor that carries out that work. But what I would say is if there are any areas, especially at junctions, where road markings are missing, and if there's a safety issue with regards to missing road markings, then please immediately, if you can, either contact the section officers or input it into our online reporting system, because safety issues like that, obviously, as you're well aware and pointed out yourself, that they have consequences if somebody misses those marking on a dark night. So I'm more than happy for, you know, we have budget to address those safety issues, you know, if there are those there.
Okay, Councillor Graham. Sorry, Councillor Graham.
Thank you, Chair. As I said, Councillor Cuddy isn't able to be here tonight, so he had asked me to ask a couple of questions for him. On his behalf. One is about the Manse Road in Dungannon. For anybody that doesn't know it, it has no footpath from the junction of the Old Irish Road to the junction of Beech Valley. It has a couple of very bad corners, and now there's a housing development being the process of being built. And he wanted to know why, whenever it was going through the planning stages, the department didn't highlight these issues to the developer at that stage and get the road up to an acceptable standard. Another question he wanted to know was about the tunnel under the road at the Old Inland Park entrance. He said it has significant historical and architectural importance to Dungannon Town, and council had agreed to try and preserve it because it could have been used to link Dungannon Park and Windmill Wood. So he wanted to know, after representation from council, why the tunnel was filled in with concrete and what purpose did it fulfil. Now, I want to ask for myself, the Granville Road resurfacing scheme. According to the map, it looks like it stops about the 30 mile an hour limit on the Dungannon side, and then there's nothing at all until you get down to the industrial estate. Is that section of road between the industrial estate and where it ends on the map, is that section of road going to be done as well? And why was it not included on initially? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Graham. Manse Road and Dungannon there. I have come into this one a little late, but I have done a little bit of background reading on it, and I think you're probably right. An opportunity was potentially missed there during the planning process to include a footpath. I mean, there is an opportunity there, I suppose, in the future for us to consider it as part of our blue-green active travel schemes. But then it will be competing against other similar schemes across the division. With regards to the tunnel under the road there that was filled in, I'm afraid I'm going to have to get back to you on that one. I'm not aware of the circumstances that resulted in that tunnel being filled in. But if it was filled in and we carried out the work, then there was probably a structural defect in the tunnel that needed addressed, but I'll come back to you on that one. And the Granville Road resurfacing, the extent of that. The scheme goes from Murdoch's at the town end for about 1.8 kilometres is what we're resurfacing at the minute. But I can get a map showing the exact extents of what we're providing to you after the meeting. That'll be included at the DEA meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Councillor Kwan? Councillor Kwan?
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I'm just trying, trouble's getting that off mute there. No, thanks, everyone, for Transportation Tag. I'll not bore you with any local details or anything, but I just want to mention two particular parts on my DEA. Well, first I want to mention why DFI, well, you are very quick at coming back. I have noticed over the last year or so there has been a slowing up in response times to queries that I've sent in to yourselves. And usually you do get a reply back in 3-4 weeks' time, but there's just some incidents and some issues that unfortunately we can't wait 4 weeks and we want to get them addressed or at least acknowledged a bit quicker. If you can look into that, I'd appreciate it. But there's just two issues I want to mention tonight. The first one, I'm not sure if you mentioned, we had a fantastic public realm scheme pulled out and collided. The town, the microphone calls have got from people, that town has never looked better. You wouldn't even recognise the town from even 5-6 years ago. Has changed that much. But the big, glaring, obvious issue is the state of the road in the town. And we have been promised it, that it will be resurfaced a couple of times now over the last couple of years to go along with the public realm scheme. But it's yet to be done, and I know there's contract disputes and stuff there. That's something that really needs addressed because it's, I think there's actually three colours of road as you go through the town and very patched up. And then the second issue is one I've raised before and still really concerns me. It's the issue of the Mountjoy Road and the turns just before Bracken football field. We know the list of accidents that have happened that road over the last couple of months. There was a case of 3 cars went off the road last weekend. I was contacting the residents there. There's going to be somebody killed on that road. And it's not from a lack of raising the issue with DFI, and I know the DFI have looked at the issue and they have tried to do something and nothing's been done yet, but the road is as bad as ever. The accidents are piling up and it is only by sheer luck that nobody has been hit or nobody has been hurt. So I'm begging DFI to have a look and try and do as much as they can about the going on the Mountjoy Road, because I am very concerned somebody's going to wake up and find that some child walking up the football field or somebody walking home at night is going to be hit. And it is something that needs addressed and has needed to be addressed for the last number of years. But if somebody can look into that. But thank you for your presentation tonight. I look forward to working with you as we go forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Quinn. With regards to the delays recently, in responding, obviously we have a our customer charter asks us to respond within 15 working days to queries. Hopefully we're still achieving that, but I take your point with regards to some issues that may need quicker response. And obviously the contact details of my colleagues here in the section offices are printed as part of the report there. So hopefully in the future we'll take note of that and try our best to get back as quickly as possible. With regards to the road surfacing in the public realm scheme there, it sounds as if it is definitely a very worthy roads resurfacing scheme, certainly to finish off the public realm job there. But unfortunately, I think it's probably a casualty of our prioritisation of roads that are perhaps more in need of the resurfacing, unfortunately. With regards to Mountjoy Road there, we can certainly carry out an assessment, certainly considering the recent accidents that you've mentioned. And obviously that will factor into where its position on our prioritisation list.
Okay, Councillor Malloy.
Apologies, I don't think that microphone is working. Can you hear me now?
Yes. I can hear you now.
Okay, thanks. Just touching on when we talked about Mance Road there, it was raised previously in our DA meetings and was raised on numerous occasions by myself and Councillor Cully. So it really is a missed opportunity when we had that development of the new housing estate. There was an opportunity there to either realign the road and provide a footpath or do something with the existing road. Just wanted to touch on something, and I know it's beyond, it will be beyond your remit, but you have a very important role to play on it. Councillor Cuthbertson touched on the roads within the estates that have been ravaged by some of the utilities over the last 25, 30 years. And I totally agree with some of that, I've raised numerous times that those estates do need attention. But in terms of a wider structure, our villages, our smaller villages and towns, don't benefit from the urban regeneration that came through the public realm scheme that we had in Dungannon, Culleen and Cookstown and others. And our small towns and villages really are crying out for some kind of investment in terms of public realm reinvestment in terms of footpaths, structures around village squares and those kind of areas. I'm wondering, we need a lobby from yourselves into whether it's DERA, part of the economy or wherever it may be, but we need to be coming together with council, DFA, and making those arguments now for a fountain pot for those various small villages and towns. So I just want to put it out there, something to think about in the long term, that we come together on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Malloy. I take your point, as I did earlier, with regards to the roads within estates. Certainly it is an issue that we are aware of, and that in an ideal world that we would address, at the same time as addressing our more significant trunk roads and main routes. But as I mentioned earlier, unfortunately, when we prioritise the money that we have to deliver roads improvement schemes, the schemes in the estates, while worthy, unfortunately don't rank high enough for us to address at this time. I would agree with you that the smaller villages and towns require a certain amount of investment, and DFI roads or DF Department for Communities, I understand, are the department that provides a significant amount of funding for those, and we're happy to work with DFC with regards to footpaths and roads within those public realm projects.
Okay, Councillor Burton.
Thank you, Chair. Just to say welcome, Daniel, to Mid Ulster, and it's great to have you and the team, Leslie and Neil, here tonight. And I suppose I would start off by saying that it does concern me greatly, being a rural councillor for the Clocher Valley area, when you talk about rural roads. We constantly are rang on a daily basis with issues. And I know we can't go into every pothole on the road here tonight, but when I think back of some of the lists that I have given in for the last 2 years, maybe 3 years, there's some of them that will be coming back on the DEA list this time again. And people still believe that we as a council are road service, and it reflects on us all, whenever the work is not done. I suppose one of the main trunk roads, or one of the issues that I've had recently, the main trunk road from Caledon out towards Auchnacloy, I think it's for about the first couple of mile, and I think it's a protected route as well. But there, and this may be as much to do, if not more, with NI Water, but there seems to be constant leaks on that road. Now, some of the people that are linked to Caledon Estate, the workmen and that, would say that it is neglect of the system. But as we come into this time of year, you can be very sure that there will be roads, or there'll be that road that'll be covered in water, and when you hit it after dark, you don't know what you're going into. So it seems to just, the water seems to lie on the verge of the side of the road. Mill Street has just got a very state-of-the-art childcare facility, and yet that road is just blind in holes, and the people would really try and want to see work done. And I suppose we as a council maybe should look, Adrian, at trying to help and support DFI in trying to get money for villages, because when you think of, I had recently a lady contact me from Castle Caulfield who fell on the street because of part of the pathway that wasn't up to scratch. In Caledon, if you're walking along, you stand on one side of the flag, and you know if it has been raining, you get soaked because it's moving, which is not, you know, really fit for purpose and is a danger. I've been asked, I may have missed this, is Clocker Main Street going to be upgraded or retarred? Because I have had a number of people requesting like disabled parking bays along it, but obviously if it's coming, and I haven't seen it in this report, but I just don't want to miss it if it is the case. We talked earlier about the active travel, and I'm really delighted with the active travel programme or project that we got delivered out there at Aglish, and it has been a really good, you see people daily walking towards the shop and out round that rural area, and I do believe it will probably have saved somebody's life, because honestly it was a real scare place. The other thing I would, and this is a real bugbear of mine, and I've raised it at Nilga, and I do know that there it will need different legislation than what's there at the minute. But we, this week, at the start of the week, I think it was on Monday, there was a tree had fallen between Castle Caulfield and Donoughmore somewhere there. And I believe that, you know, this is something that kills people every year without fail. And I think it behoves us all to really try and ensure that, and you guys have the power, I believe, to insist that farmers and landowners, if they are not prepared to cut their trees, then you do have the right to put a contractor in and charge that person. And I think if it would save somebody's life, it would be money well spent. The other thing I see as I drive along a lot of the rural roads now, there's an awful lot of the signage that tells you about bad corners and danger spots on roads. Some of the T-junctions no longer have the giveaway sign, and they're lying on the side of the hedge. I've flagged that a couple of times, and there's still some of them would be still lying in the same hedge. And finally, I just wanted to check. I do believe there has been a bit of a restructuring within the office, and people that I used to contact on a daily basis are no longer there. Is it something that you would, you know, I think it would be good to just update for which area now, and can you tell us that, because I think somebody else said earlier that you don't always get as quick as a response. And I know, obviously, there's probably still people working from home and what have you. But, you know, people, this also reflects on us if we're not getting back to people. And I really believe that that's an unfair situation if we're not able to update because we are not being updated. Mm-hmm. So have you the full strength team that you would like in your office? And can you send us out who we are supposed to be contacting for whatever area within the area? Thank you. Daniel.
Okay. We'll just thank you very much, Councillor Martin. The coloured Caledon Road leaks. Obviously, if it's a surface water issue with regards to water being removed from the carriageway, then that's an issue definitely for DFI roads. If, as you've indicated, perhaps it's an eye water issue, then probably the best course is to contact them with regards to the leaks. But we can certainly review whether it is surface water or leaks.
I think it's something, though, we should work together on, because if you write them and I write them and maybe the whole council writes them, I think there'll be strength in numbers, because I am tired, honestly, of just going round the circle. You know, I really want something actioned, because again, it is something that's public safety on a rural road.
No, I appreciate that. If it is an NI water, as I say, we can go out and have a look as part of our inspection to see if it is part of the surface water, and it's not, then we, yes, we can go back to NI water to notify them of it. The potholes, unfortunately, were, as I mentioned, as part of my main presentation there, we're still we're still working to the limited service requirements, and that means that there are potholes that perhaps don't quite meet the criteria that warrants an intervention. So anything under 50 millimetres deep, which is actually quite significant when you're hitting it in a car, on rural roads, unfortunately, it doesn't meet the intervention criterion, and our budgets don't allow us to address those until they do meet the two inch or 50 millimetre depth. The Castle Caulfield footpath issues, certainly if there are safety issues with regards to certain flags or whatever within those, I would definitely highlight them on the online reporting system, or contact one of the people in the section office if possible, because if there's specific issues like that are a safety issue, then we're obliged to address them. If it's poor condition and it doesn't meet our intervention criteria, unfortunately, our resources, again, I'm loath to keep going back to it, but unfortunately it is such a big issue for us. If it is just in poor condition and doesn't meet the intervention criteria, then unfortunately we have to direct our resources to those areas that do. The tree fall policy, you're right, there has been a certain amount of work within DFI roads to formulate a new policy on trees and potential tree hitting roads. That hasn't been completed, that process, yet, but we tend to try to work with the landowners to ask to get them to rectify any potential issues with regards to trees and hedges, because if we go through the enforcement route, then that obviously diverts resources that we struggle to progress it. That sort of tacks in with whether our section offices have a full complement of staff. Unfortunately not. It varies across the section offices, but on average, and across all of DFI Roads Western Division, we're currently sitting with about 17 to 18% vacancies within our staff structure. Our staff structure was put together after VES to deliver approximately £80 million worth of work every year across Northern Ireland. With the staff structure we have in Western Division, that equates to approximately £65 million, and yet we still deliver £80 to £100 million over the past number of years with those vacancies. So unfortunately, we don't have the staff structure that we want, but I do know that there is a recruitment and HR process being put together by our new senior management team to address those staffing shortages, and hopefully we'll start to see the benefit of that in the coming weeks and months. The missing signs and give way signs and things like that, it's similar to the point that was made with the road markings, that's a particular safety issue, and I would very much like to see that addressed. And probably the best way to address it is to report it on the online reporting system, because that's probably the quickest way if you're having trouble getting in touch with section office staff, for it to be recorded. And obviously, once it's recorded, there's an obligation on us to address it. And just going back to the section office staff, I don't see a problem with putting out a contact list to all councillors, updating you on the contacts for people in the section offices.
Councillor McKenna.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. thank you for your presentation and welcome you to the new job in North Ulster. Just a couple of wee things. I don't want to go into roads, as we mentioned the chair later on. We'll get that opportunity in the future. But the new prom, I would call it from Purple Board Marla. I don't know where it's been in Port Stewart some evenings there, and the amount of people here are walking. So it's just a welcome project. It won't take a long time to get it done. Honour Plumber was telling us about how short the staff is and sort of workmen. But is there a possibility there, just at that junction to Moor, where the traffic are coming from, I suppose the Glen Sheen side heading towards Cookstown, would there be a possibility of a third lane there? Because traffic's coming in there, you could make your tailbacks and that's a bit of a roadblock at that junction. Traffic coming to Draperstown, have to wait until there's sort of a clear path. But if there's a wee slip lane, short slip lane in there heading towards Cookstown, say, that's a good possibility there that we could free traffic up and get it moving a little faster. There's potential there to get a piece of land to move it. So just something for food for thought, maybe you could come back to us on that. The other one is the Ockram Road, just there, the hill there. It's the Bellshill Road. It's been on the cards for a long time. We shot that, that was quite dangerous. There have been fatalities on the road and there have been a large number of accidents on that road. Just wondering where it's at now in Leicester. We're getting it 10 years, it must be near 10 years that's been talked about for the Ockram Council line, so where are we there?
Okay. Thank you, Councillor. Just with regards to the two schemes that you mentioned there, certainly I can have my LTSM team take a look at both of those areas. With regards to the Ockram Road Hill section part, if that's been assessed previously, then it'll probably appear on our priority list, so I can get back to you with regards to where it sits and the likelihood of it being delivered during the current or future financial years. Could you just mention the exact location of the Tobin Moor one there, just so I get the right place?
That's just on the A29, the junction.
Okay.
It's on the Matara Road.
Yeah, I know what that means.
No, okay. That's grand. Thank you.
Okay. Don't say opposite the top, but maybe one of the wrong things to say.
Okay, and our Chief Exec, Adrian's looking to come on there in a few points.
Okay, thank you, Chair. And thank you, Daniel, Neil and Leslie. And being remiss, Leslie, I haven't seen you since the passing of your dear father. A great man who was well accustomed to this chamber. And I think I can say on behalf of all the members, an absolute gentleman. Chair, in relation to just a couple of issues, I welcome the A25 and the progress that has been made there. And just so that our colleagues Daniel and Neil are aware, our chair has already met with the minister recently in relation to support that and has requested a further meeting in relation to progressing the A5, and in particular the Ballagolly Docknacloy stretch, which is of particular significance to us. Once again, the A29 economically is the heart of Mid Ulster, and I welcome that sub-regionally, as a regional department, you guys now have identified it as a priority for yourselves as well. It's long been a priority for this council, and equally it's important that I think central DFI have recognised that the A29 is one of the three key strategic cross-border routes in Northern Ireland and the south of Ireland, and should be treated as such. And in terms of estimating the requirement as to the level of investment and the urgency required for the A29, I've made the point consistently to the previous minister and the current minister that it must be calculated on more than volume of traffic, because that favours Belfast and the urban areas in the east, and economic factors and social considerations need to be higher up in the thinking and the prioritisation of these bypasses. Economically, that route, by releasing Cookstown and Dungannon, both those areas generate £2 billion a year to the NI economy, GVA, £2 billion. And every economist that we've commissioned would suggest that that will increase substantially when we get the bypass in Cookstown and the bypass subsequently in Dungannon and get those heavy goods vehicles out of our towns and onto our motorways to the airports and the seaports that they're trying to get to. So we welcome the partnership that you guys are working on that with us, that we're not a lone voice anymore. And I really welcome the work that Darren and the team has done with us on the growth deal. And because of his good work, our members have agreed to allocate £40 million in the growth deal towards the Cookstown bypass. And that is progressing. And the real key target, and I would urge you to reinforce it, is the SOB updated by Christmas of this year. It's so important that that's done. The second issue in relation to that is the Dungannon element. And we've learned from experience, there's no point doing one bit, getting traffic through Cookstown and then hitting the further enhancing the logjam at Dungannon. Dungannon economically is our biggest town and is the closest proximity. And those of us that try to get into it now every morning from the A29 Cookstown will know very well that the congestion starts pretty much at Carlin and Tyrone Brick. And the heavy goods vehicles that's going around them corners and down that road to get that motorway is just ridiculous. You wouldn't see it anywhere else. So it's 40 years behind, and it is so critical that Dungannon is on and contained within the RST-NTP. Our members are lobbying hard, the Minister, and we would just ask you internally in your own organisation. I know you have to fight with the other regions, but the A29 for us is more important than Belfast, Derry or Fermanagh and Omagh, because it is the economic heartland of the economy, and no other road network generates economically what the A29 can generate. So please make that case. The second issue, Chair, that I would raise is in relation to Dungannon, we have made clear that we know there is no line on the map for a bypass, but we as a council have made clear our offer to work with your people. And our planners are prepared to sit down and work with your people with a view to re-looking at a map. And I know there were two attempts in the past, but we're determined this time we're going to make it work, because it has to work for the growth of Dungannon. And we're up for that. We're also up for front-loading and contributing towards the expenditure required to make that happen, because we know it's a costly exercise, but our members are confident that is an investment to save. And we as a council are prepared to undertake that with yourselves and invest whatever is required to get that line on a map so that it can be duly considered as an appropriate economic case for a bypass. So please take that as an offer, and we're really open for that discussion and that partnership. We can't do it without you guys, and you probably don't have the resources that we can bring to the table to make it happen. So I think if we come together, we can get Dungannon back on the radar and back up the priority list. The final issue I would just raise is in relation to what the Chair and some of our members raised about the villages. And I actually was talking to Daniel and Neil downstairs in reception prior to the meeting, Chair, and I was just commending them on active travel, because I think our members have really embraced the concept of active travel, because as I said to you guys, it knits communities together with services. It gets mothers and children along footpaths and access to GP surgeries that, quite frankly, it was a death trap in the past. It was very, very important. Not big works on the ground, but very significant when they're landed. So we're up for more of that. And I think we're very happy to do joint ventures with yourselves. And I like the idea of the concept of the village realm schemes that Councillor Molloy and others talked about. This artificial boundary of a population of 5,000, in our view, is absolute nonsense. And I know that's the differentiation between DFC and DERA. But we're happy to bring DFC, DERA and yourselves to the table if we can work up some sort of a village realm concept. Because if we look at what we've done previously in Dungannon, in Cookstown, in Maherfalt, and more recently in Killeilin, which has been an absolute game changer, if we were to bring that type of investment and refreshment to a lot of our villages it would be a truly worthy legacy. But it won't happen unless collectively we come together and try and remove those artificial barriers and share our resources. So we're up for that discussion. Mm-hmm. But again, a village realm requires your input for the roads and the infrastructure, as well as all the other aesthetics that we will be doing, and so on and so forth. So we're happy to engage with you on that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Well, I would certainly say that good progress is being made on the A29, as you mentioned, Adrian. With regards to the Dungannon bypass, I think anybody who moves through Dungannon during rush hour or even any time of the day would see a bypass as a game changer for there. And I would be of the same opinion. And certainly if there's any weight that I can help or lend to your negotiations with our transport colleagues in headquarters, I'm willing to certainly lay out the facts of the case as it stands. I also appreciate your offer to identify a route, and obviously if we're going to move that forward, I'm happy to engage with yourself and council to get round a table and start looking at what resource we can bring to bear to help make that happen. With regards to the villages, again, more than happy to come to the table with DERA or DFC and yourselves to see if there is a way to identify those villages that perhaps do need refreshing of the roads and footpaths and contributing into an overall regeneration scheme.
Okay, thank you very much, Daniel, and that's great to hear. As Adrian has said here, and a number of our council colleagues, the public realm schemes, and we have seen the most recent one, Cull Island, was very successful, and the other ones in Dungannon and Marafelt, and look forward to the one coming in Mahara. But I think that is of great importance that it goes to our smaller towns and villages, and as Adrian says, that we don't just have the barrier of a amount of population, and that we can work with yourselves, DFC and DERA, so I would definitely welcome that. And the active travel schemes, as well as some of the councillors alluded to, of working with councillors, we see where people are walking and see where there's gaps in lighting or where footpaths need upgraded and different linkages. So I think that was a good point as well. And on the Glen Sheehan, I had a wee quiet word with you downstairs, but I think that's another important thing that we'd like to get on the table as well, the linkage between Dungiven to Castle Dawson, because whenever the Dungiven side's opened, the increased speed there as well, and the safety issues and the increasing volume of traffic and wanting to have a direct quicker route from between Belfast and Derry. And just as a number of us have said here, great to hear that there's good headway being made on the Cookstown bypass, and if we can get Dungannon on the line and the A5 through as well, would be great. So thank you all, and to thank again Neil and Connell and Johnny and everybody that we work with, Leslie, yous are always a great help. We might not always get what we're looking for right away, like, but yous are always amenable, and hopefully we'll get there in the end with everything. So thank you all very much. And I think that concludes our session for this evening. So if I can get a proposer and seconder to close.
Okay.
Councillor Sean McPeak and Councillor Burton. Thank you all very much, and thank you to anybody viewing at home. Good evening, and safe home, everybody.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'm sure once I've got my feet under the table completely, it'll get a bit more fruity.
It's been a moment where it's like every time.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah. But it's very easy for it to bleed over in.